mouth.
I understand that. But this noise has got to stop.
All Bleak cares about is Bleak.
Is that so?
Oh, so that is. Let me just take a look around.
Bleak brought this from me a year ago, man. This is a rare out-of-print bird.
Look, I'm a delivery man making deliveries. Yeah, any static, take it up with Bleak.
Bleak, 2 E's, 1 K. Right now, I'd like to bring to the stage a fine musician, as well a very dear friend. Please give a warm welcome to Mr. Bleak.
Welcome to Exquisite Corpse Radio on CITR 101.9 Vancouver. DJ Bleak in with you tonight. And we got a show that is still progressing, even as we speak. So we're going to try and, get it together for you in an entertaining manner. In a matter of manners. And so, yeah, big news today, of course. Darren touched on one of the seeds dying today. But, of course, all the attention goes to you-know-who. So, I know it's rather obvious, but I decided to do this anyway.
Somebody shoot off a couple of guns in the distance, and somebody rattles some tin cans or something, and that's about all. So it's very quiet here.
Whoa! Look out! Here I come! Michael Jackson! Look what you've done!
Michael Jackson?
You spattered mud all over my dress with your old bicycle!
Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson?
Gee, Carol, those mud saints will never wash out.
Bruce Springsteen?
Oh, gee, what am I going to do?
Van Halen?
Oh, I'm sorry, Carol, you were too close.
Tina Turner?
Sorry, what good does that do?
David Bowie?
You know you aren't supposed to be riding your bike during lunch hour.
Prince, Madonna, Huey Lewis and the News, the Cars, Herbie Hancock, Bonnie Tyler, ZZ Top, Weird Al Yankovic, Cindy Lou. Billy Joel, Billy Idol, Elton John, Neil Young, Sheena Easton, John Lennon, the Alan Parsons Project, Rick Springfield, the Rolling Stones, Pat Benatar, Paul and Oates, Adam Ant, Queen, Jack Mellencamp, Fleetwood Mac, Duran Duran, Police, Eurythmics, Culture Club, including Wayne George, Kenny Rogers, Stevie Wonder, Dave Lacey, Diana Ross, Donna Summer, Dean Martin, Kiss, and it was especially called The Judgment of the Sovereign, and it was destroying rock music directed specifically against children, and it worked specifically through these individuals, for whom we call for the judgment of the sacred fire in this hour before the throne of Almighty God.
There you go. John Oswald and Dab there started the show there with, of course, Negative Land's classic Michael Jackson track. For obvious reasons. So, anyway, this is Exquisite Corpse Radio. Thanks for dropping by here at 101.9 CITR Vancouver.
Overtime on the mix.
Yeah, it kind of took longer than we thought.
And on top of that, we gotta pay for extra copies of the demo. I mean, we're gonna need at least 50 to 100 copies if we want to distribute it.
Right. Well, the whole point of making the demo was to get it distributed to the right people, you know. Agents, record companies, DJs.
How much more money will it take?
Oh, I didn't even think about it.
But I don't deserve it.
What do you mean?
Hey, no, where are you going? What you picking?
Love me anyway.
I'm getting out of here. I'm tired of this. It's being heard over and over again. You don't feel a thing. And it's all your fault. Get your hands off me, James. No matter what you say, it won't change the fact that you no longer deserve my love.
Come on.
Even if I don't ask her to deserve it sometimes. This kind of love has its own rewards. Fulfillment
love
that's because they self worth. To love
is something God gives because they need it.
I've shared with something God, which is why I've shared this message with you.
Which is why I've shared this with you on behalf of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
A little bit of Steve Fisk for you there. Three tracks from Over and Through the Night. Preamble, Love Times 8, and The Firing Line. That's from a little compilation of his things that were on several different cassettes and whatnot through the years. It's a 10-year retrospective, Over and Through the Night, from 1980 to 1987. Steve Fisk. We're playing some Skyway right now.
I know you like your coconut. saw him from the beach. The bearded man sitting on a rock, his face tilting toward the sun. He hummed, or rather, a humming sound came from where he was seated. Curious, I moved closer and saw that his beard was made of separate parts, moving as one. His neck and chin were covered with a swarm of bees. He was odd. I thought maybe he was not quite human. I thought he may be an outcast like me. I sang to him. He waded into the sea, but the bees began to sting him as he was about to put his chest under the water. It's like falling overboard a ship in slow motion. 1 minute is the sun sparkling in wavelengths, then it's star-like glittering, and finally the impenetrable dot of deep water. It begins with a hunter wandering in the forest. His name is Raymond de Poitou. His cloak and gloves are covered in blood, and his face is white with shock. He comes upon the mystical fountain of thirst, where he meets three beautiful women dressed in white. He mourned with Melusine by his side through the evening until dawn, by which time the Count was enchanted by her empathy and her beauty. I will be your wife if you allow me to have absolute privacy every Saturday evening to take my bath. He asked me to come back to his house. I was hesitant, but had to admit I was quite lost, so I accepted the offer of a warm fire and a cup of drinking chocolate. These things were like little snares that caught at my heart, making me think I was... Did I meet him on the beach, or did I meet him in the forest? Was I wearing a blue dress or not? I saw him from the beach. The bearded man sitting on a rock, his face tilting toward the sun. It's he like hummed, falling over or rather, a humming sound came from where 1 minute is the sun sparkling and wavering, and its star-like glittering. Finally, he asked me to come back to his house. I was hesitant, but had to admit I was quite lost, so I accepted the offer of a warm fire and a cup of drinking with chocolate. It's like falling over the water shore and sweating hot, making me think I was the sun sparkling and waving, and its star-like glittering. And finally, he was the sun. My children were like barnacles on my soul, like tiny oak trees growing out of my skin. I had children of the earth. I had children of the sea. One had a lion's paw growing from his cheek. One boy had pendulous ears. Another had one red eye and one blue eye. One son's face was cherry red. Another boy had one eye placed on top of the other. The youngest son, perhaps the strangest of all, had boar-like tusks growing from his mouth. We could hear her filling the tub and singing the familiar tunes. We waited for Father to come home. We could hear her filling the tub and singing the familiar tune. Every Saturday, Melusine would disappear into her bathing chamber, which had been added to the castle according to her specifications. She would light candles, drop fragrant flowers on the water, and sing a haunting series of songs that echoed through the underground chambers. Her husband could hear the songs from a distance, but he never dared to break his promise to respect her privacy. He thought I was a mermaid. He thought he was saving me from me. He thought I was a mermaid. He thought he was saving me from me. Your brother killed himself trying to. I woke up the day it happened, knowing someone would die. My brother had risen early, baked a loaf of his sourdough bread.
He thought I was
left.
A mermaid.
After half an hour, Luke came back in the front door, stamping his feet in the cold. His cheeks were flushed. It was a Saturday. It was Mother's Day of laying in. My mother loved Luke's bread. She sat savoring every bite with melted butter and honey from my father's hives. I wish I had some of that bread right now. The three of us huddled around the fire, looking out separate windows, thinking about our own stories. We could hear her filling the tub and singing the familiar tunes. We waited for father to come home. There was no screaming. Just a series of thudding, bumping sounds. My brother and I looked up at the ceiling where the bathroom was. He died in my arms. I cupped my hands around his temples to soothe him, and I sang him the old songs of my family. He lost his footing. He never was very graceful. When he was dead, I wrapped him in all the towels we had. I took the fish out of the bathtub, and Luke buried it in the backyard. Your brother killed himself trying to kill me. He thought I was a mermaid. He thought he was saving you from me. He thought I was a mermaid. He thought he was saving you from me.
Hi, this is Ron McLean of Hockey/Movie Night in Canada. You're listening to CITR 101.9.
Died in my arms. He thought I was a mermaid. He thought he was saving me. My uncle entered the house. He took the key out of the lock in the bathroom. Spied on my mother. He blamed her for attempting to attack her. He humbled her body. They don't know if I was the mermaid.
Creates this outcry, this clamor. He creates this nightmare of noise.
If it makes noise, it has some merit.
He's a sonic mess, basically. The discordant notes are just a hubbub, a cacophony.
If it makes noise, it has some merit.
He creates a disturbance because he's basically disturbed.
If it makes noise, it has some merit.
Basically, this is a worthless racket. The man is mentally incompetent.
For the most ear-splitting forays into noise, prog, early industrial, no wave, plunderphonic, psych, and altogether way out sound, tune into A Noise with your host Luke Meat every Wednesday from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM.
Solo the guitar solo.
A Noise, music that isn't in its right mind.
This is CITR and Exquisite Corpse Radio, Canada's favorite radio show. It is the 25th of June. This is my 15th anniversary being married to my wonderful wife, who came with me tonight. She's not in the studio. She's out there reading or something. Bored to tears. Yeah, I came in here. I came in here on my 15th anniversary. Do my radio show, because that's how I roll, I guess. You can only miss so many, I guess. Yeah. Anyway, no, we'll be doing stuff. Don't worry. We'll be doing good stuff. We just heard a few good tracks all blending into each other. Valet in there with Streets from Naked Acid, from Valet, and my favorite releases of the last year. Naked Acid. It's a great CD. We heard Polpo with Orca from the Science of Breath release. All right, wonderful, what do you call it? A sort of ambient noise with a rhythm. Absolute Value of Noise with Lori Weidenhammer, and a track called Ocean Myths. We heard a track attributed to Skyway, but I can't find any more information on that. But it was sort of a sound collage thing. And I had it on a CD for some good reason. So we heard some of that, and I kind of lost all info about that one. Steve Fisk in there, Over and Through the Night. We heard three tracks, but I told you about that. We have podcasts available at CITR.ca. I know some of you listen through that means. If you listen to that, give me a ring. Or, give me a shout through email. artcorpse@yahoo.com is a place to go if you want to do that. We got a few other things coming up for you. We've got something from the Wiretapper number 21 here. We did a feature on this a few weeks ago. Like every week for some time now, I will play you a Blank Dogs track because that's my current obsession. This is the day, besides being my 15th anniversary, it's the day Michael Jackson died. So, on top of arranging flowers to be delivered to my wife today, I also arranged the death of Michael Jackson. It's my fault. But you know what? Money can get you a lot. Let's hear something from the Wiretapper number 21. Like I said, this is... I tried to pronounce this before. Pekka Iraksinen. Pekka Iraksinen, I think it is. Nobody is Free. And this is from the download only... Maha Good. I don't know. My eyes aren't very good anymore. Looks like you can find out more at nbresearchdigest.com. So, Pekka Iraksinen. Nobody is Free. On Exquisite Corpse. Canada's favorite radio show. We'll be right back. And that was some Torn Gat there with Going What's What from Le Petit Nicole. Torn Gat, Canadian artist on Factor Records, also Alienate Recordings. To give you more of a grounding of what that's all about. Going What's What from Torn Gat's Le Petit Nicole. Seven-track CD, that was track seven. Pekka Ireksinen, that's how I pronounce this. Track called Nobody Is Free from Wiretapper number 21. And we should get into a calendar of events thing right now. So let's start with tomorrow night, as we always do. If this page will ever come up for me. Yeah, tomorrow night you have Northwest Skank Fest with Mr. Cakes and the Fabulous Flames and Jones Bones and Lil Guitar Army at the Anza Club. And remember, this is the weekly drinking game. Whatever words I stumble across or upon or over, you take a drink. Crushed to Death at the Astoria tomorrow night as well. Blue King Brown at the Biltmore Cabaret. It's part of the Jazz Fest. Bria Schoenberg at Capilano Suspension Bridge. I don't know what you do there. You I hope the audience isn't standing all on the bridge or something. That'd be kind of tragic. Mimosa at CBC Radio Canada Studio 1 Jazz. David Sanborn Group and the Sojourners at the Center in Vancouver for Performing Arts. Take a drink. The House of Rock. Oh, that's a... We don't want to advertise for them. Anyway, Reckoner and Odd Child and Noble... Newbinson. Noble Newbinson. I'm pretty sure that's what that says. And the Boomsday Alliance at... Oh, and Aching Heart Foundation at Cheers Nightclub. Take a couple drinks on that one. The Grand Trine at City Square. Ah. Inebriator and Omega Crom and Sarcophagus and Torrential Pain at the Cobalt. I was going to say that must be at the Cobalt. Sure enough. King Sunny Ade and his African Beats. And Ko Kanda. King Sunny Ade, he's not called King Sunny Ade for nothing. He's an actual king of a country. Can't remember what country at the moment. He is actually king. Or was. He's been king for a long time. I don't know if you can be... Yeah, you can be a king for as long as, you're kicking, right? That's how Michael Jackson lost his crown. The King of Pop. He's no longer King of Pop. Elvis was the king once, and he... passed it on to somebody. I don't know. He passed it on to. Anyway, the Commodore Ballroom will be having King Sunny Ade and Kokanda. And Collapsing Opposites and Fanshawe and Juliana Barwick and Tally Ho at Funky Winker Beans. Yes, sir. Half Chinese, Cryptozoology, Nihilist Party, and the Lost Lovers Brigade at Foco Karaoke Bar. Joe Stanton at the Main. Let's see. It's part of the opening night for the Vancouver International Jazz Festival. You got In Media Res and Grand Theft Bus and Dylan Hosack and Cher at the Media Club. The Real Deal and the Easy Brothers and Bone Daddies at Pat's Pub. This is still tomorrow night, everything. The Lost Fingers at Performance Works. So if you're trying to find those, that's where you go. Solos and Duos and Two Slices of Acoustic Car. Kornstad Homlander Reese Mueller at Performance Works. No idea if I pronounced any of those correctly. So take a few drinks. The Midnight Jezebels and... here's how it reads. The Midnight Jezebels with the Midnight Jezebels and Captain Dust and Trophy Wife and Elephant Train at Pub 340. And, God, the list keeps going. If there's any highlights I should be getting to. We're running out of time. We should be getting into some of our Olympic news now, I think. Contrary to common assumptions, the Vancouver 2010 Winter Olympics Games will not result in a surge of sex trafficking in the city, a new study suggests. The study released last Thursday, examined an array of international sporting events such as the Olympics and World Cup soccer games. The findings suggest there is no evidence the number of sex workers and trafficking victims increased dramatically in those locations during the events. So plan your holidays around that. To get the poorest off the streets in 2010, Vancouver's plan is largely to open up temporary homeless shelters in 2010. Yeah. This is from the Vancouver Sun, May 3rd, by Miro Cernatig or Kernatig? I don't know. She says, I was in a taxi a few days ago, being driven from City Hall to downtown in one of those blue sky days, with the sea breeze whipping up showers of pink cherry blossoms. At the time, I was reading another of those livability surveys saying, we're living in the number one city in the Americas. During moments like that, you can see why the folks at Mercer Consulting, who put together the 2009 Quality Living Survey, think we're tops. I look down from the postcard vista to get back to work and tap out a few emails on my BlackBerry. A few minutes later, wondering how far I was from the office, I looked out the taxi window again. It was another city. Dozens of people stood in what looked like a breadline outside a shelter. At least 100 people sat or lay on garbage-strewn sidewalks. Surrounding buildings were boarded up. A skeleton of a woman was begging on the curb. Had the Great Recession finally hit Vancouver? Had I been transported to Detroit? Nope. Just another day in the downtown east side on East Hastings Street. First, I wondered if the people at Mercer had seen this. Then I wondered what our political leaders have been doing for the last 5 years. Many hope the arrival of the Olympics would be a catalyst for action on our poverty ghetto. The conventional wisdom was we had no intention of being embarrassed as the world watched in 2010. By now, our leaders were supposed to have put in the resources and brain power to make strides to help the poor get off the streets. Well, it looks like they failed. Don't listen to me. Read a report from the Vancouver City Hall titled Report Back on the Homeless Emergency Action Team. While it's full of plenty of promises for action in the years ahead, it shows we've still got a little more than a temporary band-aid solution to the immediate challenge of solving homelessness in the downtown east side. To get the poorest people off the streets in 2010, Vancouver's plan is largely to open up temporary homeless shelters in 2010. Translation: the city and province have simply run out of time to come up with anything better. This is hammered home by the report's idea of launching, quote, launching the Extreme Weather Response Shelter Program for the duration of the games, unquote. Translation to that: even if it isn't cold, we'll open the beds to get the homeless off the streets and out of those TV shots during the games. Now that's not a bad idea, supplying beds for the homeless, two of whom have been burned to death on the best city in the Americas in the past two winters while trying to keep warm. Anyway, having a hard time with that sentence. Moving on, Mayor Gregor Robinson deserves credit for getting that. In his first few days in office, he brought together a coalition of groups, the city, the province, the Street to Home Foundation, and St. Andrew's Wesley Church to supply 232 people a warm bed or pew at St. Andrew's Wesley Church. Why that solution, which cost $40,000, wasn't thought up years ago is mind-boggling. But it's hardly a long-term homelessness policy we hoped might be ready by 2010. The tougher challenge of building more permanent shelters, transitional social housing, and better mental health care options for our citizens on the street remains years and tens of millions of dollars away. Also yet to be tackled by the new mayor or the numerous reports his bureaucrats file on the subject is the politically incorrect question that needs to be debated in Vancouver. Have we crammed too many flop houses, shelters, treatment centers, and anti-poverty groups into one urban space? It's not hard to see this as a debate worth having if you walk down East Hastings Street. But that Olympic clock on our downtown is ticking down. As of the day, May 3rd, it was 284 days remaining until the world arrives. We might be showing it the America's best city, but our leaders are running out of time to unveil the continent's best plan to solve homelessness. Once again, that is a Vancouver Sun columnist, Miro Cernatig, I'm calling her, or him. Miro. In more Olympic news, as we count down to the wonderful day when we all watch our best and fittest. Anyway, never mind. Surprise elements cost taxpayers extra $8.3 million for BC Place upgrade. And this is a report from CanWest News Service article on June 17th. Vancouver 2010 organizers are refusing to give details of an $8.3 million jump in the bill to upgrade BC Place Stadium prior to the games. And that has critics slamming Olympic officials for lack of transparency when spending taxpayers' dollars. Olympic organizers' share of the tab for games-related renovations to BC Place has ballooned from $3.8 billion to $12.1 million. That's much more palpable, I think. But on Tuesday, marketing boss Dave Cobb wouldn't tell media what's involved. Cobb cited surprise elements in the 2010 opening and closing ceremonies. It's directly tied into the show that our executive producer wants to put on, said Cobb. It will allow us to do certain things in opening and closing ceremonies that we wouldn't otherwise be able to do. We like to keep what we're doing secret until the ceremonies happen. I'm willing to pay for that. What we're doing secret until, yeah. The move also cuts the venue construction contingency fund to a wafer-thin $1.3 million. That's despite the fact that Vancouver 2010 still has to spend another $48 million to complete the venues. Both Cobb and 2010 Chief Financial Officer John McLaughlin insist the $1.3 million will be enough to complete the $580 million construction project. Anyway, that's halfway into that the article from Damian Inwood, CanWest News Service, June 17th. There's some more of our Olympic news for June 25th, 2009. I think we should move on to some Blank Dogs now. Track is called Crystal Ladies, from Blank Dogs' On Two Sides album. Right here on Canada's favorite radio show, Exquisite Corpse Radio. We'll be right back.
CITR 101.9 and Discorder Magazine are hosting an epic Canada Day party at the Astoria. Come celebrate 142 years of Confederation featuring Gang Violence, Reflections, MT40, and guest DJs Ian Wyatt and No Gold. Doors are at 10 p.m., show starts at 11. Join us for a night of amazing local sounds at 769 East Hastings, the Astoria, on Wednesday, July 1st.
Sunday, Monday, Sunday, Thursday night only, Thunderbird Radio Hell.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, Jay, how's it going?
All right, I guess.
I didn't think I would bump into you in the street.
No, usually on Thursday nights, I'm listening to Thunderbird Radio Hell.
So am I.
Yeah, usually the radio has a show on at 9 p.m. to 11.
9 p.m. to 11 p.m., that's right.
It's a pretty good show.
Is that the show with the live bands?
Yeah, it sounds like there's talking between the band and the guy.
Yeah, that guy.
Interviewing bands while they're still alive.
I'll check it out.
Live from Thunderbird Radio Hell on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
We'll be right back.
Anyway, it's time to say goodbye here at Exquisite Corpse Radio. We just heard Martin H. Crispo there from various artists' compilation of women artists in the noise field. Martin H. Crispo with Matilda. Gonna be leaving you now. I don't know what Thunderbird Radio Hell people have not raised their head in any way. So we'll see what happens. I was gonna try and leave you with some Wayne Butane, but that wasn't happening. It's not gonna do it. I'm gonna check out my disc. So let's play some Kid 606 now. This one's called The Drip from Kid 606, Die Sound Boy Die EP. So until next week, remember, the future is bleak. Good night.
I'm going to go to the next one. The utter misery that is college radio, where they apparently just let any bewildered freshman wander into the booth and try to run a radio station. Campus Outreach is looking for... Hang on. College radio can pretty much be summed up in five words.
CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.